Good morning.
Good morning.
For what we're about to receive, may the Lord give us an explanation. I did ask Alex how long I'd have, and he said, well, when you stands up, we put the kettle on. When the kettle whistles, you shuts up. Mind you, for some of those we've been having recently, we only half fill the kettle. Oh dear. So I come with a sense of humour. I do apologise. So you're going to have fun. Okay? I'm not necessarily going to give you homiletical, exegesical, eschatological explanations.
Shame.
But I'm going to give you an indication of the season we're living in. I am not predicting when Jesus comes back again, because none of us know, the Bible tells us. So I'm not talking about setting dates and trying to get the time right. None of that happens. Who's Clive Jackson? Well, I became a Christian on March the 11th at 11:30 in 1980. I was only a teenager. I was still at school. I was in school when I became a Christian. And someone shared the gospel with me. Now, you think that was great. Been a Christian 42 and a half years. My mum was a spiritualist medium going out with a Hindu, married a Muslim, and you thought you were confused. My brother was due to be trained as a warlock because we come from a gypsy family. Don't be put off, no prejudice, love gypsies. I'm not a gypsy, I just happen to be related to a lot of them. My brother came along to a Bible study. I love having home Bible study discipleship groups. And the Elam Church in Reading was running this. And so my brother came along to stop me making a fool of myself and became a fool for Christ. And he got saved and wasn't sent to be trained as a warlock. You think it gets worse than this, all right? I'm just telling you the headlines. I had to live through this. My mum tried to stop us both going to church because she didn't want us being brainwashed. And of course, you know that any sinner needs their brain washing by the blood. So she tried to stop us. We put our Christian music on, took about half an hour, and she wanted us out of the house. Anyway, 3 years later, she became a Christian. Kicking and screaming, but she became a Christian. Because her third husband was beating her senseless. He was a drug pusher and a bit of a con artist anyway. And she took a breath and said, Jesus, if you're real, save me now. And she became a Christian at that very moment. He fell away, saying his hands were burning. And she went into the bathroom and cried her heart out to Jesus. 30 seconds later, after she said amen, I'm trying to turn my phone down so it don't make noises, my Aunt Rose, all the symptoms of her arthritis returned, because my mum had been a spiritualist medium writing a column in a newspaper and practicing healing from a wrong source. All the symptoms of my Aunt Rose's arthritis returned. So she got on the phone, said to my mum, I need another healing session. My mum had not been saved a couple of minutes, and she says, I can't do that anymore. You need to come to church with me on Sunday, and we give our lives to Jesus, and he'll heal you. And so both of them went to church that Sunday, went forward in the little Elam church, as it was then, and they both gave their lives to Jesus, and Rose was healed. You and your household shall be saved. It made a difference to my household. My grandfather, her father, also became a Christian. So it's generation after generation. Now I've lived long enough to see my brother's boys also preaching the gospel. So God's taken my family by the scruff of the neck, kicking and screaming, and saved us from the council estate in Reading. Look where I am now. Missionary in Wales. Peculiar people. And through all of that, you can see generation after generation, someone prayed for my family. And someone prayed for you when you got saved. You didn't know it. It might have been a grandparent or a parent. In my case, it was my dad's uncle called Peter. He was saved. He had learning difficulties. And my mum met him years later and she found out. He said, I'm praying for baby Clive. No baby anymore. That he knows Jesus. In his own simple little way, he had prayed for me every day of my life. And God answered a simple prayer of faith. God can answer your prayer of faith for your children, your grandchildren, for your neighbours, your work colleagues. Your church will grow if you pray for the unsaved. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm a Pentecostal. It will show. And from there, God has taken me around the world. I've visited something like 20 nations. I've taken Bibles into China, secretly. I've met Brother Andrew, and he said, I can get you into any country in the world, Clive. I can't promise you're coming back. Are you prepared to go? And I went into China at the best of times. I've been into Europe in many countries, been to Africa several times, building orphanages. Whatever God calls you to do, do it. God directs your path. And this is just 5 minutes of testimony. So you know who the person is that's speaking to you. Isn't a complete raving nutter. Well, maybe. Okay. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is going to be an introduction. There are signs of the times happening around us. And Scripture gives us so much on this subject. I could keep you here for a year and not exhaust this subject. So I'm giving you headlines. And if you disagree with me, great. Because we can look at what the Scripture says together. You can convince me and I can try and convince you. But what this is about is that there is a change happening in our world. And God is in control. Whenever you see this, you hear the words, fear not. These things have to happen, so fear not. How many times does it say fear not in the Bible? 365 times. Fear not. That's one for every day, because we need to be reminded. So fear not. So I'm going to present to you 50 reasons why we're living in this season. 50? We've only got 10 minutes. This passage asserts that Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. But it proceeds to make it clear that's true for the pagan world, those outside the church. It also makes clear it shouldn't surprise you, believers, because you are spiritually alive. and aware of the season we are living in. His return is no surprise for those who are alive in the Spirit. So what does it mean? Because you are children of light, not darkness. You've been taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, scriptures give us many, many signs to watch for. Signs that will signal that Jesus is ready to return. For example, in Hebrews, refers to the signs when he proclaimed to believers that should encourage one another when they see the day approaching. So I am here today to encourage you. Hooray! Jesus also referred to the end times on the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke 21. He talked about what? You see the signs all around you. Red sky at night, red sky in the morning, in the scriptures, Matthew 24. You know what the weather is like. You can see the season. What I'm alluding to is look at what's happening in our world. Jesus is coming again. I believe this wonderful phrase. The Anglicans say it regularly. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. I believe it. Christ is coming again. I am just an alien passing through because my home is in heaven. He has said he goes to prepare a place for you and me. I'm just passing through. So when I come next time, you can know I'm just an ambassador, an alien passing through. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Every time I think about these signs, I'm reminded that years ago, it wasn't as clear as this. You think about the 1980s. Everybody thought we were going to be tattooed with a barcode. Do you remember that? That was going to be the end times. Or, you know, this was going to happen. Even the last 10 years, we've had all kinds of spurious things coming out and people writing books on blood moons. And Jesus was going to come back then. Here we are, still here, still waiting. No one knows the exact date. Only the Father knows this. You think about this then. 100 years ago, in 1917, just over 100 years ago, there weren't many tangible signs until the end of the end of ages started. Germany and the Turkish Ottoman Empire had been defeated, and Britain was awarded the area that the Romans called Palestine. And our Foreign Secretary, Lord Balfour, made a declaration that there would be a national, a homeland for the Jews. That was a key moment in history. General Allenby walked into Jerusalem. He got off his horse because he said, Jesus, my Saviour, rode in on a donkey as the King of Kings. I can't but ride in. I can walk in as a humble servant of Christ. And on December the 11th, 1917, General Allenby walked into Jerusalem to take control of the city. We have our part in history. Now, the Bible says that end times have been happening ever since the day of Pentecost and the birth of the church. You look in Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and you can find lots and lots of events that refer to the time we are living in. But in my opinion, the most important key, a monumental key to understanding today, happened in 1917. And as you search scripture, you can identify the signs. So I'm going to split this up into six things. Okay, first one, there are signs in nature. Luke 21:11 says, Jesus mentioned this category. He says there's going to be earthquakes, great earthquakes in various places, plagues, famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. So it's not just blood moons and things that are happening out there, but earthquakes and volcanoes. And we've just seen only a few months ago in La Palma, that island nearly split apart. And that would have been catastrophic for the wave it would have sent, would have devastated many cities in America. Except the Christians prayed, and it didn't happen. But scientists have been warning that this is going on. There are other things, though, that are happening very subtly. Our trees are suffering more diseases than ever before. Ash dieback has devastated many forests in our country. There are diseases in oak trees, in our crops. There's something called black grass that's devastating our cereal crops. There's things happening, diseases that are happening in our animals as well. This is a sign of the time that we're living in. And it says in Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. I know, I'm going like a machine gun. So stuff's happening around us. What about our society? Oh my goodness, I'm in Cardiff, and this weekend is dedicated to immorality in Cardiff city centre. I'm glad I'm not there. But Paul mentions this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He wrote, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, because for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. None of those here? No. Good. Without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that sound like our society? It sounds like the news, where men will take a syringe and inject chemicals into vulnerable females to have their wicked way, which has happened in Cardiff and Newport recently, where people, kids going to a disco, end up losing their lives because someone goes in and it starts injecting people with lethal chemicals. This is a reprobate society. Society has lost sight of its godly foundation. Would you not agree? It's a sign of the times. So what is it? The love of self is humanism. The belief that man can accomplish anything on his own. It's a religion of this time. the love of money, materialism. When humanism is your religion, money is your God. The love of pleasure is the third that's mentioned here, hedonism. It's a lifestyle that's produced when you have humanism and materialism. But God won't be mocked. He therefore sees to it that if people choose humanism, materialism, and hedonism, the payoff will be nihilism, a fancy philosophical word to say despair. In the last days, men will fear. And we live in a society that is full of issues of mental health like never before. The pandemic left so many people isolated. 20% of our population feel alone and lonely at home. They need a friend. They need you, church, to befriend. Befriend your neighbor. I befriended my neighbor recently. His name is Christopher. He's lost his hands and feet through meningitis. His wife has left him, and he is, frankly, not being looked after properly. The health system has evaluated that he needs 3 care calls a day, and he gets 1. So his situation is desperate, but for the church. I step in and start to talk to him. I find out the reason why his wife wouldn't let me come round, and I know this is being recorded, but she's into witchcraft and Ouija boards and tarot cards. Don't want to let any of those Christians near you. They'll mess up your life. When people chase a fake God and fake ideas, they avoid the truth at all costs. I got started to befriend Chris, took him to church, and he's become a Christian. And God has touched his life. Now, not only does he want to come to church, he wants to come to the Bible study group. And it's great. People from church end up going and helping him with his garden, which was renovated by Alan Titchmarsh, of all people. £100,000 was spent on his garden, but he can't look after it. So people from church started to go round to help him. People from a local church who run the food bank brought him food. People from the local church, from the Christians Against Poverty, start helping him with debt advice. The church is stepping in where the world has failed. And you can do this. You can step in where the world has failed. Our society needs us to step up, because the answers the world are seeking will fail them. This is a season we're living in. The third thing that I see happening around us is spiritual. Never before have you seen the rise of alternative religions. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For a time will come when men will no longer endure sound doctrine, but will be tickled by their ears of anything that sounds great." Here you are, people following. It's a negative thing, but there are cultic groups, occultism, skepticism, apostasy. You've never seen such a rise of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons as you see today. And they're taking advantage of the lonely at home, because no one else has gone. We can make a difference. Witchcraft, did you know that there are over 100,000 registered witches in the UK? That's more than ministers of the gospel. It is New Age religion. There's nothing new about it. It's plain and simple witchcraft. I know, I've seen it at work. The sign of the time. Everyone's looking for an answer, looking for their future. What will my hand tell me? Nothing. It's a con. Oh, look into the tea leaves. Oh, I see a handsome young man. Read the column. I mean, this is in the newspaper. They make money out of this. You know, your day is going to be like this. You're going to meet someone and they're going to help you with a big problem. Bunk. But I know who holds my future. If I believed the things my mother had said about what's in my hand, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in prison. I wouldn't have travelled the world. I wouldn't be able to communicate. But God says this, I have plans for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and to bless you, not to harm you, but to do you good, to give you a future and hope. You have hope. Offer it to your friends and neighbours. My neighbour has made a commitment and wants to know more, and he's coming on my Alpha course in September. I've got 10 people already who want to do Alpha course. It's marvellous. They're difficult, smelly people that want answers to complicated problems. And you think, but God loves them. And they come in obnoxious, wanting to cause an argument, cause you trouble. I can't answer their questions. But I let the Holy Spirit do the work, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction of sin and shows them who Jesus is. And suddenly you watch them change and accept Jesus into their lives. We have a hope in this desperate time. There are lots of other things that have happened in the last 100 years. There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostal movement was born. But it was only possible because Israel became a nation. And that's an important key. I'll get there in a minute. Think of world politics. What's the biggest issue in world politics today? It's a sign of the times. But what are they arguing about the most? Israel and the control of Jerusalem. The Vatican wants it, that Jerusalem to be under its control. The EU want to divide it. The United Nations want it to be an international city. Everybody's got a solution for Jerusalem, but no one's talking to Israel. And Jerusalem, in Scripture, will become a burdensome stone as people try to control and manipulate what is going on. Technology is another sign. And I'm going to rattle through this because I know time is running through. But never in history have we faced the threat of nuclear war as we do today. We thought it had all finished 30 years ago. And here we are again, being threatened with nuclear annihilation. Luke chapter 12 speaks of people fainting with fear, the powers of the heaven being shaken, that sores that will not heal. All talk about a nuclear issue that will happen and that half the world's population will die. This is good news. Clive, you come to cheer us up and encourage us. You're frightening us to death. But there are things in Revelation that you can see where the Antichrist, the false prophet, makes statues, animate. That's what John described 2,000 years ago, but it's only recently you've got robots and holograms and other things that are happening that appear to make statues animate. Technology has appeared, and at this time, that is changing our world. Here's another one. You might think I'm completely mad. That's okay. But the two witnesses in Revelation are killed and are left on the streets of Jerusalem, and everybody in the whole world can see them. That was not possible till the 1960s. Nearly 2,000 years later, after it had been written, satellite television. You can now see an event in Jerusalem, in LA, Beijing, from London to Cape Town. But you can only see these things being fulfilled by the technology, the season we're living in. The biggest sign of all is Israel. Did you know that it was almost unbelievable years ago when Israel became a nation? There was barely 600,000 people, Jewish people, living in Israel. At the beginning of the 20th century, there were 40,000. Today, 8.5 million Jews live in Israel. The prophet Jeremiah says twice that when history is complete, the Jewish people will look back and conclude their worldwide gathering was the greatest miracle of deliverance since their Egyptian captivity. It's a sign of the times. Okay, homework. Take one, pass it on. So, Clive, you've given us 6 different things to think about. Nature, our society, spiritual signs, political signs, technological signs, and the signs of Israel. So how does this all tie up? You have to think about the whole part of Scripture. Can I do this in the next few minutes? Are you ready for this? I have given you a list of 50 signs of the times with their scripture verses. Okay? An increase in instability in nature. Luke 21:12. An increase in lawlessness and violence. Matthew 24:12. An increase in immorality. I don't need to tell Cardiff that there's an increase in immorality this weekend. Do I? No. An increase in materialism, an increase in hedonism, and an increase in humanism. Depraved entertainment. Calling evil good and good evil. Christians have never faced such a persecution as in this time. The increase in use of drugs, the increase of blasphemy, paganism, despair, signs in heavens, increase of knowledge. Just ask Google. An increase in travel, the explosion of cults and false Christs, apostasy in the church. There are revivals going on in the church, and the church is advancing greatly. Did you know that through the Alpha Course in the UK, 1,000 people every week are coming to Christ here in the UK? Wow! That's amazing, and you never hear about it, do you? An increase in tax on the person of Jesus, a tax on the validity of the Bible, the persecution of Christians worldwide. I know this because I worked for Open Doors, but at least 180,000 believers worldwide have lost their lives and are martyred for being Christians. In North Korea, I'd be martyred just for owning a Bible. In China, thousands, millions are locked up for being Christians and owning a Bible. In Saudi Arabia, Christians from the Philippines have been going in as workers and witnessing. But when they're found out, they're locked up. And some have been executed under false pretenses. But it's all based on they are believers. Iran, Iraq, Nigeria, Egypt. Egypt, there's been burning down of churches. The same's happened in India and Pakistan. We are living in a tense and dangerous world. Persecution is coming. Will there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Just a question. Aren't I a cheery soul? Occultism, I've talked about witchcraft. Rumours of wars. There is rumours of wars. And there will be wars. I said this 6 months or so, no, 8 months ago, I was preaching somewhere else, and I said about the same things I'm saying here. I did not know that we were going to end up with war in Europe. I did not know that for the first time in 30 years, we were facing a nuclear threat. Weapons of mass destruction are being increased. China is increasing its armory at this very moment in time. They've also increased their army and navy. There'll be an increase in famine. What's been going on in Ukraine is causing terrible consequences for Africa and their food supply because they are supplied grain from the Ukraine. An increase in pestilence, which I've mentioned, in computer technology, television, satellite technology, virtual reality, the unification of Europe. That's why we left. We didn't want to be part of a European superstate. But it is going to happen. Far Eastern military powers. China is now threatening Taiwan and other areas, and it's using its economic power to control many places in Africa and around the world. The movement towards a one world government. My goodness, we could talk ages about that. The regathering of the Jews and the reestablishment of Israel. The reclamation of the land of Israel from a desolate place. Do you know the land that was offered to Israel was a desert? And they took it. But they've made it one of the most fruitful places on earth for the production of fruits and vegetables and innovative irrigation systems, which have now been exported across the world. There are so many anti-Israel ideas around in our politics that want to ban any Israel product. Well, you'll have to start with your phone, because the technology was developed by a Jew. Oh, this is getting fun, isn't it? The revival of biblical Hebrew, the reoccupation of Jerusalem, 1967, the resurgence of the Israeli army, the refocus of world politics on Israel. Do you know Israel has faced more than any other nation sanctions by the UN than anyone else? All because of the Arab and Russian alliance. Russia's threat to Israel, the Arab threat to Israel, the denial of the second coming. Some people don't believe it's going to happen. The denial of the creation of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the translation of Scripture into many languages. We have nearly accomplished the task of preaching the gospel in every tribe and tongue. Scripture says, if that happens, Christ will come. Interesting. Are you having fun? I'm having far too much fun. The preaching of the gospel worldwide, the revival of Messianic Judaism, more Jews are coming to faith in Christ the Messiah than ever before. The revival of Davidic worship, which means focused on Jesus, Jehovah God, and the understanding of biblical prophecy. All of this, all of these many, many signs you can research coming together at this time. The seventh thing that's happening is convergence. It's happening today. My heart's crying out, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming again. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. It's our future hope. I don't hope in crystals and tea leaves and palmistry or anything else. My hope is in Christ alone, by faith alone. I'm saved by grace alone. I'm free today because of Jesus. I can live my life without fear because of Jesus. And when I know that the bills are going so high, the money for food never seems to go far enough, I know my Redeemer lives. And he holds me in his hand. Have I been a blessing to you today? I do hope so. Hopefully, I've gone off like a machine gun, but something will have hit. But you can know that there is hope for the future in Christ to give you hope today, to live life today. It is more urgent than it's ever been in history to tell your next door neighbor that Jesus loves them. You never know what you might uncover, like I did with my friend Chris. I uncovered so much need, but God was able to use the church to provide for him. Maybe you can be an agent of the gospel to change your neighbor's life, to change your children's life, to change your grandchildren's life. Because time is short, but our hope is real. Amen. Amen.